جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الخلص المنتجبين ومن يتبعهم وتبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله؟ ألا إن نصر الله قريب. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Why we see so much suffering in this universe? While the universe is being ruled and governed and controlled by a merciful Lord, by a compassionate Lord, a loving Lord, why love is missing then? Why we have adversities and afflictions and trials and tribulations and sufferings and happiness, misfortune, death, disease? What is the reason? What does the Quran say? How does the Quran explain that? There are many theories. I'm choosing only 3 points today, but we can discuss it even more than in more than 3 points, maybe in more than 30 points. And I am trying to take the answers from the Holy Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these adversities and afflictions and misfortunes, they have reasons. And don't only look at the dark side of them. Despite being an adversity, an affliction, it does have the bright side too. Look at the silver lining in every what we call bad act, there is something good in it. Number one, Allah says, for these afflictions that strikes on you, there are ethical, moral, and educational lessons. Tarbiyah. We learn from them. How do we learn? Allah says some of these afflictions, tragedies, they serve as a wake-up call, as a warning bell. Wake-up call for us, because sometimes we get drifted away. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. when humans they feel peace and security and affluence, then they start drifting away from the right path, from the right course. They start transgressing layatra. This is inside us. This is in our DNA structure. The moment you feel that you have everything, you start transgressing. Rather than thanking, being grateful, and saying, all what I have is from God, I have to be grateful to Him, I have to be thankful, I have to give back, I have to get closer to Him, 99% of the people, they go the wrong way. They become ungrateful to God. Yatgha. So, the tragedy, when the tragedy strikes, it serves as a warning call, wake-up call for us to go back to your right path. Allah says in chapter 30, Surah Ar-Rum, verse number 41, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. The corruption that we see in the land and the sea, engulfing the whole earth, is the result of people's deed. People's deed, bima kasabat, what their hands earned them. Not because we are angry at them. It's not because of us. It's because of them. Bima kasabat aydin nas, liyudhiqahum, so He will make them taste ba'd alladhi amilu, part of. Not the entire retribution, not the entire punishment, not what they fully deserve, but part of it, 1% of it. بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. Why? Why do you do this to us? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That they might go back, come back to the right path. It's a warning. It's a wake-up call. They shake us. Tragedy that happens in your family, in your business, in your health, in your community, in your village, in your city, serves as a shaking to tell you, wake up. Don't go into that wrong direction. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. They might come back to the right path again. It's a warning. So this is reason number one. We have afflictions. Look at the bright side of it. It's a wake-up call for you. Otherwise, you become stubborn. You don't listen. So you need. You don't listen to your mother. You don't listen to your father. You don't listen to your friend. You don't listen. Some people become big-headed, stubborn. They don't listen. So Allah says, I know how to teach you. I know how to wake you up. Through a small magnitude, 3.2, no more than that. When the land shakes underneath you, you remember that there is a justice system here. Life is not what I like and I pursue. There is something else. So this is number one. Number two, why we have afflictions and masa'ib, trials and tribulations, is that you have to find a solution out of that. If Allah makes life easy for you, accessible for you, you get everything you want, anytime you want, you are not going to learn. You are going to be spoiled. Allah says, no, sometimes I make it difficult for you. So you can use your brain. You can use your talent. You can use your intelligence in finding some solutions. If we don't have these diseases today, medicine is not going to develop. Medicine will be 17th century medicine. Because we have diseases, then we see the growth, the development of medicine on a daily basis, not monthly basis, on a daily basis. We don't see the advance in science and technology because we have to find a way out. We have to find a way out. Allah says, for every problem there is a solution. So do not give in to the problem. Try to find a solution. I have given you brain, powerful brain. When you incorporate the brain, when you use it, you can find the solution. Try to find solutions. Allah says in Surah Al-Nisa, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهِ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Sometimes we, through our own limited understanding, we dislike certain things. But Allah says in that thing that you dislike, it could be a disease, it could be poverty sometimes, it could be losing your house. I know some people, they were very arrogant. Once they lost their house, they shifted 180 degrees from being very arrogant into being very humble. So the house was the reason, the mansion that he had was the reason for his arrogance. Allah wanted to be good with him, to save him. He said, I want to take away what made you arrogance, I will take it away from you so you go back to your original nature. You go back to your humility, to your humbleness, to your insaniya, your humanity. So maybe the person who lost his house, he thinks this is bad, but Allah says no. وَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهِ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. I intend an abundance of goodness for you. Not for me. God says not for me. It's for you. It's for you. I took away from you the reason of your conceit and arrogance. I took it away from you. In another verse, Allah says, without going through difficulties, you would never be able to attain victory or success. You must go through this channel. There is a tunnel, actually. We have to go through that tunnel. If you want to get to the other side, the bright side, the sunny side, then there is a tunnel, dark tunnel. You have to go travel in this tunnel until you reach the sunny side. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Yusr, affluence, ease, comfort comes after a tumultuous journey of difficulty and distress. Does not come just like that. You have to struggle until you find your way in this life. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Yusr, comfort does not come free. You have to go through many difficulties in your life. So you reach the kamal, you reach a human perfection. You have to experience these difficulties. Sometimes in your health, sometimes in your family, sometimes in your money, in your business, in your house, in your neighborhood. You have to go through this. This is the second reason. We don't learn, we don't grow, we don't cultivate our talents, our potentials, unless we face difficulties. When we face difficulties, we try to find solution. I know even in the world of politics, some countries, they were under siege, economic embargo, economic siege, they became powerful. In the past, they used to import the smallest thing from the East and the West. But when they placed an embargo on them, they said, okay, let's try to find these within us. Within us. Why do we always stretch our hand to this country and that country? While other countries who have everything, they have money, they can purchase, their people's brain is very slow. Why? Because there is no need to activate his brain. Everything he wants comes by airplane, by ship. Why do I have to manufacture this here? Why do I have to look for it here? I can find it elsewhere. They don't use their brain. And Allah says, I'm sorry for you when you don't use your brain. I've given you brain. I want you to be self-sufficient. If you use your brain, you can be self-sufficient. I was in Iceland 2 months ago. They took us to a geothermal areas where you find waters gushing out from underground with 200 degrees centigrade. 200 degrees. They take the water by pipes to the city. You know, in Iceland, people do not pay for heating. No heating bill. Why? Because the water comes free. And they have to cool this water. They have to cool it so the pipe can carry it. Otherwise the pipe itself would melt. They use their brain. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البين. We have given them brain. All what they need is the brain. While in other countries they pay too much because they have the same resources, they don't use them. They don't know how to use them. That is the second reason. The third reason, why do we have balaya, afflictions, adversities, trials and tribulations and tragedies, masa'ib? Allah says this is the spiritual meaning of it, spiritual wisdom. Allah says balaya are tests for the believers. I'm testing them. I'm testing their patience. I'm testing their relationship with me. With me, to see whether they turn away from me or they get closer to me. Thus, the hadith says, إِنَّ الْبَلَاءَ لِلظَّالِمِ أَدَبٌ. When there is a misfortune befalling on a criminal, it's a punishment for him or her. أدب, تأديب, discipline. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِ امْتِحَانٌ. While the same misfortune befalls a believer, good person, pious person, it's امتحان. It's a test. It's not a punishment. It's not a punishment. It's a test. وَلِلْأَوْلِيَاءِ كَرَامَةً. Those who are close to God, this misfortune that befalls them, it's a grace, karama. It's karama. Allah wants to give them an extra gift. Karama, grace. وَلِلْأَنْبِيَاءِ دَرَجَةً. When the misfortune befalls upon an imam or a prophet, it is getting them higher and higher in their levels, in their steps. It's a step closer to God. وَلِلْأَنْبِيَاءِ دَرَجَةً. So don't look at it only as a punishment. Don't say, why God is punishing me. Look at yourself. Where do you stand? If you stand in the camp of the believers, awliya, then this is not punishment, this is a gift. If you stand in the camp of the enemies of God, yes, you deserve this. And therefore, the ulama says, a condition, an important condition, shart, for the awliya to reach the higher level of proximity with God is to go through these tribulations. You have to go. You cannot escape. Listen to the Quran. I started the sermon with this verse, chapter 2. Verse 214. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. You think that the road is open for you? You can make it on a highway, fast highway to paradise, without going through tests, trials and tribulations, misfortunes, tragedies, loss? No, that does not happen. You must go through the same highway. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا. We did the same with communities before you and generations before you. مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ. Adversities touched them. وَالضَّرَّاءُ. Affliction touched them. Until some of them, they reached the point of disperse. They reached the point that they became despondent. Where is God? It was tough for them, but we bring them the victory at the end. And I conclude with the hadith of Al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Imam al-Sadiq says, "Inna ashadda an-nasi bala'an fi dunya al-anbiya." The most people who have been tested by bala, tribulation, are the prophets. Anbiya. ثم الذين يلونهم. After them, those who come after them, the awsiya. ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. The closer you are to the Prophet, the more you're going to be tested. Do you hear this? The more you get to the Prophet and the Imam in their character, in their faith, the more you're going to be tested. ثم الأمثل. The closer they are, the bigger the test is. So this is not a punishment. And let me conclude with the last hadith. وَإِنَّهُ Imam al-Sadiq says, وَإِنَّهُ It will. لَيَكُونُ لِلْعَبْدِ مَنْزِلَةٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى God has saved for you, Abd, the slave of God. He has saved a location for you, piece of land for you, next to him. Okay, position. Manzila is position. But God says, I would not release the keys unless with two things. فَمَا يَنَالُهَا The Abd, the servant, cannot get the keys to that position, that location, but through two ways. فَمَا يَنَالُهَا إِلَّا بِإِحْدَى خِصْلَتَيْنِ إِمَّا بِذِهَابِ مَالِهِ أَوْ بَلِيَّةٍ فِي جَسَدِهِ You cannot get the keys until we test you with either one. Either losing your wealth and remaining patient, or getting sick. بَلِيَّةٍ فِي بَدَنِ To see how you do. What is the result? What is your reaction? If your reaction is, you surrender to Allah. Allah is testing me. I'm not going to lose my faith. I lost my house, but I don't lose my faith. I lost my son, but I'm not losing my relationship with God. God is above my son, above my house, above my life, above my parents. God is everything. If you don't lose, Allah says these are the keys. Here you are. You deserve them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيد شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الإمام الهادي المهدي أجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي المذنبة المقصرة بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون صدق الله العلي العظيم On the 25th of the month of Muharram, it's the anniversary of the martyrdom of another iconic figure of the family of the Prophet, Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin al-Sajjad, alayhi salatu wassalam. Who was born on the 38th of Hijrah in the heart of Medina. In the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the house of Imam Hussein. His mother is not Arab. His mother from Persia. When the Muslims conquered Persia, they brought the family of the king, Yazdegerd. His daughters were taken as prisoners of war. He had 3 daughters. They were taken and brought to Medina. Umar ibn al-Khattab was the caliph, and he decided to sell them in the market. Imam Ali alayhi salam was there. He said to him, "Inna banat al-muluki la yubi'n." The daughters of a royal family, this is the seerah, the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught us that even if you are in a war with an enemy and you capture his family, the family of the sultan, the king, they are not sold in the market. They enjoy special status. They are not sold. You cannot sell them in the market. So he said, "Well, what shall I do?" He said, "You have to free them. You free them and then ask the Muslims, you know, what to do, or ask them. They become free." When they became free, Shahrbanu was one of them, one of the 3. She said, "I would marry the son of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because I have not seen him and I don't know him. But while I was in my father's palace a while ago, I saw in my dream the Prophet of Islam telling me that you're going to be my daughter-in-law and you're going to marry my grandson. And I saw the picture, the face of Imam Hussein in my dream. Today when I see him now, I remember that dream that I saw." So she chose to marry Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and she delivered for him al-Imam Ali ibn al-Hussein Zainul Abidin. The other 2, they married Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, Muhammad the son of the first caliph, and that wife delivered Al-Qasim, one of the great scholars of Islam, Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. The 3rd one married the son of the 2nd caliph. Umar ibn al-Khattab had a son by the name of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. So she married the son of Umar and she delivered for him Salim, the son of Abdullah, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Abu al-Aswad al-Duwayli, one of the greatest Arab poets, he refers to Imam Zain al-Abidin. He says, وَإِنَّ وَلِيدًا بَيْنَ كِسْرَى وَهَاشِمٍ لَأَفْضَلُ مَنْ نِيقَتْ عَلَيْهِ التَّمَائِمُ. The son which is delivered from the best of Quraysh, which is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the best of the Persians, which is the daughter of Yazdegerd, Kisra, the king of Persia, he's the mixed of those 2. He deserves the right celebration. La akramu man nuqat alayhi at-tamaim. Imam Zain al-Abidin lived for only 57 years. And his imamah, his leadership, started after the day of Ashura. His father was murdered on the day of Ashura on the year 61. Imam Zain al-Abidin was only 23 years old. He could not fight. He could not go to the battlefield because of his ailment. And he tried to go. Imam Zain al-Abidin kept asking his sister Zainab, "Ukhtah Zainab, ihbisi." Don't allow him to come to the battlefield. لِأَلَّا يَنْقَطِعُ فِيهِ نَسْلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. We want the generation of the Prophet, the imamah, the wilayah to continue. And that is the divine plan. Imagine they killed children as young as 6 months old, Bani Umayyad. But they could not kill Imam Zain al-Abidin. And they attempted to kill him, not just in Karbala. Yazid tried to kill him in Damascus. He could not, he failed. Allah is protecting him, shielding him, so he can continue the mission of the imamah and wilayah. Imam Zain al-Abidin came after the Battle of Ashura to a society that was mired by corruption, ethical disintegration, morally decomposed, a society which was morally decomposed, society which was dying, bereft of any principles or human values. How he awakens this society. Does he take revenge? Ahlul Bayt are not about revenge, no. Ahlul Bayt are about forgiveness and love and compassion, even to their enemies. So he decided to build something called dua and munajat. And if you have, you have to have his legacy in your house. As-sahifatu as-sajjadiyya. As-sahifa as-sajjadiyya, that contains these supplications and these prayers and these du'as and these munajat, munajatul ta'ibin, munajatul khaifin, munajatul muti'in, munajatul muhibbin, and reflect on what he says and what he does himself. He does practice what he says. He came to resurrect that dead society, the society that was fighting for the dunya and forgetting about the akhirah. And nothing, my friends, nothing more powerful to rehabilitate humans than connecting them with the Lord. Nothing. Through dua and through munajat. And Ahlul Bayt were number one in this field. Ahlul Bayt are the source of teaching, the source of inspiration. We learn how to speak with God through the channel of Ahlul Bayt. They are the best. Look at Imam Ali, look at Dua Kumail, Dua al-Sabah. Imam Hussein himself is not only a revolutionary leader in Karbala. Imam Hussein's peace on the day of Arafat, Dua al-Imam al-Husseini fi yawmi Araf. Read this Dua. And read Dua Abi Hamza al-Thamali and the du'as that have been produced by Imam Zainul Abidin to resurrect the people, bring them back to humanity, to true Islam, to their true nature, to save the people. Imam Zain al-Abidin, he, during his 34 years, all the leaders were tyrants, beginning with Yazid. Yazid was the first tyrant during the reign of Imam Zain al-Abidin. After Yazid, who came? Marwan ibn al-Hakam, another corrupt. After Marwan came his children, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, Hisham, and then Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. Corrupt family. Al-Marwan, Al-Ziyad, Al-Bani Umayyah, those are examples of, if you want to see them alike today, look at ISIS. Look at what ISIS does, so you can believe what I am telling you. So, Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, who is a caliph, he's sitting on the seat of the Prophet. He opens the Quran, he does a istiftah. He wanted to see what the Quran tells him, istiftah, they call it istiftah. He came across this verse in Surah Ibrahim. Check it out. Chapter 14, verse 15. وَاسْتَفْتَحُوا وَخَابَ كُلُّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. They sought victory, but every stubborn tyrant is bound to fail. وَخَابَ كُلُّ. He gets angry, he throws the Quran away. He tells the Quran, you threaten me? تُهَدِّدُنِي بِجَبَّارٍ عَنِيدِي فَهَا أَنَا ذَاكَ جَبَّارٌ عَنِيدٌ. You are telling me that there is one bigger than me, more powerful? I am the only one who's powerful. I don't believe in God. He rips the Quran off. He tears it off. He tears it apart. He destroys the Quran. تُهَدِّدُنِي بِجَبَّارٍ عَنِيدِي فَهَا أَنَا ذَاكَ جَبَّارٌ عَنِيدُ إِذَا مَا جِئْتَ رَبَّكَ يَوْمَ حَشْرٍ فَقُلْ يَا رَبَّ مَزَّقَنِي الْوَلِيدُ. Go back to your Lord. Go cry. Tell your Lord, tell him on the Day of Judgment that Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik destroyed me. Go. Of course it's easy for them to destroy this book. Because before that, they cut the body of Imam Hussein into pieces. And this political establishment that cuts the body of Imam Hussein into pieces, it's not difficult for them to cut this book into pieces. We have Qur'anun Natiq wa Qur'anun Samit. This is Qur'anun Samit. You read it. Does not speak, you read. Silent book. Qur'anun Natiq is the Imam. The Prophet points to Imam Ali, he says, Aliyun huwa al-Qur'anun Natiq. If you want to see Qur'an in a practice, in action, this is Qur'an not in action. You just read it in a book. The Qur'an that is in action is Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wassalam. Is Imam Hussein, Imam Zain al-Abidin, Those are the Imams in action. So they were both destroyed. Both Qurans, the Samit and the Natiq, were destroyed. Imam Zain al-Abidin, let me conclude with this. When he was taken to Damascus, and I mentioned this last night here, he was handcuffed, taken to Damascus, the entire trip handcuffed, with women, with children. When he reaches Damascus, one of the companions of the Prophet, his name is Al-Minhal ibn Amr, he approaches him in Damascus. He says to him, كيف أصبحت يا ابن رسول الله? How are you, O the son of the Prophet? He says to him, يا منهال, أصبحت العرب أمست العرب تفتخر على العجم بأن محمدا منها. The Arab nation, they brag before the non-Arab that, listen, hey, Muhammad is from us. God chose Muhammad from Arabs. وَأَمْسَتْ قُرَيْشْ تَفْتَخِرُ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْعَرَبِ بِأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا مِنْهَا. And when you come to Arabs themselves, Quraysh, the major tribe in Mecca, they brag before other Arab tribes that, hey, Muhammad is from us, not from you. وَأَمْسَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ آلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. At the end of the day, you see us, the family of the Prophet, مَقْتُولُونَ مُشَرَّدُونَ فَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجُونَ. But when you come to us, the family of the Prophet, they have to take care of us, they have to preserve us, to protect us. You see what they do is exactly the opposite. They murder us, they displace us, they take us as captives from this city into that one. فَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا سَيِّدِي وَيَا مَوْلَايِ يَا عَلِيَّ ابْنَ الْحُسَيْنِ زَيْنِ الْعَابِدِينَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى أَبِيكَ السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, every Arba'een we try to provide some food, shelter and medicine to the zuwar of Imam Hussein, who walk hundreds, sometimes hundreds of kilometers. We have makeshift camp for them in Karbala, and we try to supply them with food for almost 20 days. Food, medicine, and shelter, blankets. So if you'd like to contribute, I suggest that each person, each family would contribute $100. So we can collect this money and send it as soon as possible as a gift for Imam Hussein and those who spend the days and the nights walking to his holy shrine on the day of Arba'een. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. If you want to donate, give to Haj Samir and Haj Shahidi, Shams al-Din Shahidi, who are sitting here. وعجل اللهم في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.